Kom staan, Lynette, sorry, ek gaan jou 'n bietjie embarrass. Kom staan gee vir my. Kom staan nie by my. This is my wife Lynette, for those of you who don't know her. And many of you know her, many probably don't, but this is my wife. And we've gone through quite a tough time recently, and we've grown really close together over the last couple of weeks. Not like we weren't together, but something amazing that God did in our lives. And I'm just proud to have Lynette as my wife. And it's she that dresses me so nicely. So if you ever wondered, orange is not really my color, but Lynette brings in the color in my life. But it's also my privilege this morning, and after lots of prayer and consideration, I've prayed a lot about it, and I've consulted with pastors Fred and Lucille and Andres and Sias, and we have decided, and I've decided to appoint the following people as elders in our church. It's four people that have been praying with me from the beginning. I've known them for many years. We come back many years. We've been started praying in Ian Barnos's house about 7-8 years ago, and every Friday we came together and we prayed together, and we've become friends over the years. And I really believe these are the men that God has and women that God has put over our life to support me in my role as well, and also to serve this church. I really believe these are the people that God has called for this time. First, if you guys can just come forward, Dion and Hanley, and as they come forward, I just want to thank them for what they've meant to us this last weeks. I think we all cried a lot together, but it was really a blessing. They've come from in Ottery, the Christian Good Hope Christian Church, more than 20 years ago. They've been spirit-filled, serving the Lord already, and Dion and I've been friends, and we've been accountable to one another for quite a number of years as well. Then Inu and Marie and their daughter Anemi and Herman will probably come here as well. And Paul Roos and Stefani and Klein Paulkie work. And then unfortunately Philip and Unita can't be here. He's unfortunately have to work in Durban of all places, and he had to go and watch the rugby last night. But we still felt that we just want to continue to introduce these guys to you, that you also know this is the elders for the church, and I'm really privileged to have them here. And I just want to pray with them, and I know these are the people that will bless you and serve you, and they will be the ones who are holding my hands in the air. So I just want to bless them. Okay, I'm just going to pray just for you as well. Lord, I just thank you for these precious people, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought them over my path, Lord. That they've been praying for us, Lord. That they've been praying for this church for so many years, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they are a blessing, Lord. And that we can release them this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that we can know, Lord, that they will serve you, Lord. That their heart is there. That we can know that you have called them and appointed them this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Okay. Bye, thank you. Thank you, my dear. Yeah, Dion and Annelies also they were elders in Stellenbosch as well. So we are actually, I'm very fortunate to have them to serve with us here as elders here. As I just said, most of you know, maybe there's one or two people that don't know, but Lynette and I've been going through a tough time with our little one that's been sick, and he was diagnosed with a Wilms tumor, and his left kidney had to be removed, and he's going through chemo. Tomorrow's going to be his fourth time that he's going to receive it, and this is amazing how God has been dealing with us through all of this, and how we've grown together, and that I really believe that God is good, and through all of this, how God has showed himself to us. But, you know, sometimes you listen to what people say, and many people are disappointed because, and maybe disappointed in God, because they've been standing in faith for healing and it didn't happen. And then you hear people say, but God doesn't heal. And when I heard, sometimes God doesn't heal. Not all the time, because in my life he didn't heal, now therefore God doesn't heal. And I mean, I've been reading the scriptures so much lately, and I just know that God heals God is the God that heals. And that we mustn't look at our experiences. We must look at what the Word of God says. And there's many other factors that can influence us, and it can influence us, and that we should look at that and not look at what our circumstances is, but we should look at the Word of God, because the Word of God is the truth. In Exodus 15, at first I wasn't going to share this, but now when we prayed before the time, I just realized that I also had to share it. But when the Israelites in the desert came to a place called Marah, there was bitter water, and the people complained and moaned. And then God said to Moses to put this log, to throw this log into the water. And when he did that, the water turned and became sweet. And then God after that said to Moses and the people, if you diligently follow me and do my commandments and follow my commandments and do what I say, I will not put the diseases that I put on Israel on you, for I am the Lord your healer. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that heals. And Jesus, when he was walking the earth, he said, those who are thirsty, come to me, and I will give you waters of living water. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And this is a place that I believe that we go to the Lord, where God wants to bless us with the living water that comes from him. Does it sound funny? It sounds like I'm talking back to myself. Can you maybe? Sorry. Thanks. But, you know, through all of this, when I read the scriptures, I see that when God heals, there was also so much compassion in the Lord. In Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9, he says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. In Matthew 14, verse 14, he said, he went ashore and saw a great cloud, a crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. When Jesus came to Lazarus, there was compassion. He was filled with compassion before he healed him. You know, and I just, through all of this, I just realized that when people are suffering, God gets moved by the compassion, by our compassion. Sometimes you mean well, but just by talking so much and telling people what they should do actually puts people off a little bit. Sometimes just when you come to someone, you give them compassion and say, but God is in control. Just speak one or two words to that person instead of just taking a shovel and just throwing all these words of truth on this person. It actually means much more to a person. Just a little bit of compassion instead of all the words that we sometimes can speak over them. And this is just for me important, that when people are going through tough times, to listen rather than to speak. Let them rather speak. If you have a word, then you can share the word with the Lord. And you know, when I was reading the Bible, when I'm reading the Bible, every time this word, and Jesus healed all, he healed all, came up. In Psalm 103 verse 2 and 3 says, bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits, for he forgives all our iniquities and he heals all our diseases. In Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17, that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. And this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took the illnesses, our illnesses, and bore our diseases. In Matthew 12, verse 15, he said, and many followed him, and Jesus healed them all. In Luke 4, verse 40, he says, and all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And Luke 6 verse 19, he said, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for the power came from him, and he healed them all. Then Matthew 4 verse 23 and 24 says, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. So just from the scripture, I just see that God heals everyone. There's no way where he says, go away, you're not being healed. Everyone that came to Jesus was healed. But, you know, it's not also only physical healing, it's also emotional healing. There's many, and the word of Paul this morning is exciting to me because we didn't talk before the time, but God heals, wants to heal us emotionally as well. People who've received emotional hurts, they're broken, they're lonely, they've been rejected. You know, someone shared with me some time ago that he had a fiancée. He got engaged with this girl very publicly, and then she cheated on him, and they had to break up. And he was very embarrassed after that. And afterwards, his heart was so hardened to other girls. And because of that, he took a very, very long time before he could trust again. But that was a hurt in his heart. And because of that hurt, his heart became hardened, and only the Lord could really heal him. You know, and I think especially for the fathers, to teach the young girls to not play with men's feelings because their hearts become hardened, and then afterwards they treat other girls badly because someone keep them on a line. And the other way with the men as well, that when men, young men come together with girls, that they treat them with respect because we get so hurt easily. Or you hear of people, their parents have rejected them. This one man told me his father drove away. He came home and he had his new young girlfriend in the car, and he waved at him, sort of laughed, and he drove off, and he never saw his father again. And that was a hurt in this man's life, that many years, only after he became a gangster, this man, only many years after that, he could receive healing when he came to the Lord. But there are people who are divorced, or their parents been divorced, or breakups, a boyfriend left a girlfriend, but that hurt that happens. I really believe that God wants to heal us so that we can become whole in who He is. In Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And then verse 2, it is to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. I really believe that God wants to bring all of us to a place where we can become whole in who God is. And I want to encourage you to come and do our Foundations 3 and 4 courses as well, where we specifically deal with emotional hurts. And Foundations 4 will also deal with demonic oppression. And maybe just from my side as well, I want to ask you, there's many other ministries that's involved in this as well. If you want to send someone on that, first let them do our courses before, or so that for the sake of unity. And this is just a request that we ask you, that we have relationship with people in the church. If that person can't be helped with us and they want to go outside, by all means, but that we all know about that, because just for the sake of unity in the church, and as we grow forward, that we are in relationship with everyone that is in our church. And you know, many people, I've heard someone say that you can't be helped in just a weekend. Maybe that's true, but God can help you in a moment. You can stand up and respond to Him, and the Holy Spirit can come on you, and you can be set free and healed immediately. We mustn't put God in a box. He can heal you in a weekend. He can take 6 months. We don't know. But for the sake of unity for us as a church, I ask that we do our foundations first before we move out. If we move out, that all of us are in agreement with that, then at least we have relationship with all the people. I hope you understand my heart behind it. It's not we want to break anything down. We just want unity in us as a congregation. Then something else that I want to say as well is, if you are hurt, that you don't hold other people emotionally hostage. Sometimes because you hurt someone, you hear someone saying, but no one called me, and now I'm rejected, and these Christians are off. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. People will maybe forget about something. Don't hold them. Don't blame them if you got hurt. rather just bring it back to the Lord. If we made a mistake, we want to apologize, and we really want all people to come to the fullness of who God is. Then what I want to say is that Jesus paid the price on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for all sin, for all sickness, for all curses. He paid the price for. In 1 Peter 2 verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 5 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we stricken him, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. You know, sin is just a spiritual manifestation of the fallen world. And sickness is a physical manifestation of it. We all will sin at some time. I mean, just driving in traffic, you will probably sin. But the thing is, when you sin, we go back to God, say, Lord, I have sinned. Forgive me. And God forgives you as far as the east of the west. We all get sick at some times, but we can know when we get sick, we bring it before the Lord, we pray, and that we can be healed from that sickness. You know, and also what I just want to say, that God is not an angry God that will take, like I wouldn't take my son and put his hand on a warm plate to teach him a lesson. I believe that God wouldn't take sickness to teach us a lesson. To give us sickness to teach us that, you know, you were out of line, now I'm making you sick. This is just a result of a fallen world that we live in. But there's also a place that we must have a desire to be healed. That woman with the blood flow for 12 years, she had a desire to, she said, if only I can touch the garment of the Lord's, of the Lord, I will be made well. And when she touched him, the Lord felt this flow, this power flowing out of him, and he said, who touched me? And she was made, she was healed at that moment, because she had the desire, she had faith to touch the Lord. She knew if she can only touch the Lord, she would be made, she would be healed. But it's not always, as Paul also said, it's not always our faith. In Mark 2, verse 4 and 5, there was those men who opened the roof, and they dropped this paralytic, they lowered him to the ground, and Jesus saw their faith and he healed the man. So sometimes it's just our faith that will cause someone else to be healed. And if you're feeling sick, you just respond. It's our faith that when we pray over you, that will probably, our faith in Jesus, not our faith in ourselves. And I think this is also the mistake that Lynette and I made at this stage. We were starting to have faith in our faith and not having faith in who Jesus is. And this is where I said there's always hope, because we know who God is, that God is good, and that we have faith in the fact that God is good. I am, you know, something, you know, I can mention it now, just medicine. Many people, and I hear people saying, no, you shouldn't use medicine because I'm standing in faith. But in 1 Timothy 5 verse 23, Paul, the apostle of faith, said to Timothy, drink some wine for your stomach and your frequent ailments. So he didn't say to him, have someone pray over you, lay hands on you. He said, use something for your stomach. So don't feel that you shouldn't drink any medicine because you're sick. If you're sick and someone prayed for you and you're not healed, use medicine. It's not because you don't have faith. If you're sick, go to a doctor. There are many doctors in our church who are spiritual Christians and nurses who are spiritual Christians. Why would they do that job if it's not from the Lord? If God doesn't use doctors and nurses to heal people. And what I just maybe want to say there, I was going to mention it later, if we didn't have medical aid, we would have been in big trouble at the moment financially. So don't, unless you're very sure the Lord's saying to you, and I would even want to say confirm it with three people or more, that you just, let's say, no, I'm not going to have medical aid anymore. There's also a place where we have a stewardship of what God has given us. So if you feel that God is saying that you must cancel your medical aid, by all means, I'm not going to say God didn't say that to you, but all I'm saying is be very sure and confirm it with one or two people at least before you do something like that, because that doesn't mean that if you have medical aid, you don't have faith in who the Lord is. But, you know, I've asked God, why don't we see miracles like in the Bible, like in Acts? Why don't we experience healings like what you do in the Bible? And the first thing, there's many reasons. I just want to mention four. The first one, there is a spiritual war. There's a spiritual war that we probably don't see, that we don't experience, but it's real. Jesus said in John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but that he came to give us life and life in abundance. And the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he wants us to be taken out. And as Mark had said last week, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and powers, evil powers in heavenly places. In Daniel 10, verse 12, Daniel prayed to the Lord, and 21 days later, the angel Gabriel came to him, and he said, when you humbled yourself before the Lord and you prayed, the Lord released me to come to you, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withholding me for 21 days, and then the chief prince, Michael, came to assist me, and I could come through. And then he said, now I've got to go back and go and wrestle against the prince of Greece. So there's definitely a war taking place, a spiritual war that we don't see. There's people in this church that I know have the gift of discernment, and they've seen angels, they've experienced angels and demons. And there's a battle for our minds and for our souls, and they're constantly fighting. So maybe one of the reasons can be that you pray, but there's a fight that, because the devil wants to kill and destroy, kill, steal, and destroy from you. The second reason that we don't put our trust in God, that our trust is in man and not in God. In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12 and 13, talks about this King Asa. He got sick, he got a disease in his foot and his feet, and it started spreading, and it was quite serious. And the Bible says he didn't seek the Lord. He only seeked the help of physicians, and then he died. So there's a place, because he didn't went to the Lord and say, Lord, I am sick in the name of Jesus, heal me. Or he went to someone else to go and pray for him. He didn't put his trust in the Lord. And then when we pray as well, James 1 verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. You know, someone some time ago with us said, I'm not going to pray with you. I don't have the faith. I know you guys have the faith. I'm standing outside to when we prayed for Daniel. When we pray, and you don't have the faith for that person to heal, rather just walk outside. Say, I'm not going to pray now. If you have the faith, we stand and pray. And you know, it's amazing when people pray and you hear that, you can feel that they don't have the faith now. And then afterwards you feel so, and you just have to, Lord, I just go and break that. So when these people who, if you're struggling with that bit yet, go and ask the Lord for faith. Lord will, you know, even with David, he started small. He gave him a bear to fight and then a lion to us. That's, he will probably give a dog to kill first before we get our bears to fight. And then only he could fight against Goliath. But God will always take us in small bits. If you're not at that level yet, just stand back. God is going to take you to that place where you will be able, where you will have the faith. But at that moment, just for the sake of the person who is sick, just stand back before you go and pray with them. Unforgiveness, Matthew 6 verse 15 said that if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness can be a reason why people don't receive healing. I've told you the story many times of this lady that had cancer, and after she started forgiving all these people, now she's living a fantastic lifestyle. A daughter told me some time ago, she actually went she got sick again, and then she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, look, the Lord's going to heal you anyway. So, you know, this lady's just living an amazing lifestyle. It's about 2 years after now, after she, and at that stage, they thought she had days left to live. And then sin. We all sin at times, and sin can have an influence, and that's why we can get sick. I think I got sick some time ago because of unforgiveness in my heart. And we bring it before the Lord, say, Lord, forgive me. I've had unforgiveness. Please forgive me. James 5 verse 16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, and there's also a place where there could be sins of the forefathers that could be influencing you. And that's why we ask you, come to Foundations 3 and 4, that we can deal with those things, that you can repent of that. But once you've repented over this thing, the Lord says, as far as the east is from the west, your sins have been forgiven from you. So for me, I truly believe that God heals, and God wants to heal everyone. His heart is not to heal just someone and not heal you. You must really see if you can listen to Pastor Fred's sermon of 2 weeks ago in Stellenbosch, where he talks about dualism, that some people believe that God, the yin-yang principle, that God is either is good and he's bad, that there's some badness in him as well, that God will heal, but then sometimes he will not heal because he's got this evil streak in him, and that he just said that we must just repent of that, that we must know that God is good, that God loves us, that God heals, and that we must seek God, and when we come to him, we must come to him because we know that God is good and that he heals, that we mustn't come with a double-minded mind thinking that there's an evil side to the Lord, that he doesn't want to heal us, but know there's other influences around us that can affect our lifestyles. But for me as well, I believe that there's a place that God wants to use us as his vessels. Greater works. John 14 verse 12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. Jesus says that we will do greater work than him, because he went to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus has said, because he's going to the Son, whatever we ask in his name, he will do it. So I think there's just also that place where faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, that we mustn't just listen to what happened with other people's life, but we come back and say, what is the word of God saying? He says, whatever you will ask me, I will do for you. In this amazing scripture, Matthew 9, verse 35, until Matthew 10. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. And he called to him his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. So God has given us the authority according to the word of God. Matthew 10 verse 1, that he's given us the authority to cast out unclean spirits, to heal every disease and every affliction. Now, verse 5 of Matthew 10, he sent them out, instructing them, now go among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Only after he was crucified, then they were given authority to go to the Gentiles and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. This is the authority that the Lord has given us. Heal the sick. We're still struggling with healing the sick, but God's saying, raise the dead. You know, cleanse lepers. It's an incurable disease. There was this one lady that said that her father's got an incurable disease. And God said, we must heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. the pastor of Ceres, Christoph. He owned his own farm. Leon and them know them quite well. And a crate fell off the truck on this one worker, and he was pronounced dead at that place. And the Lord just said to Christoph, go and pray for him. And Christoph went, and he just started praying for this man, and this man came to, and he was raised from the dead. And the nurse came to him and said, you know this man was dead. And he just, you know, he was as shocked as she was that God had did this miracle. And the other one that I know of is Sias, who at one of the SOS, him and another guy, one of the young boys overdosed on drugs, and they felt his pulse, and they didn't feel anything, and they said, what now? And so we pray, and they prayed for him, and this guy came to as well. And I know Pastor Fred as well prayed for a friend of his who was in hospital, dead for quite a while already, and who also came alive. And he said he never wanted to ask a question about that again, and he was almost sorry later on that he didn't. But, you know, the Bible here says, the Word of God says that we must go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leopard, and cast out demons. And I really believe there's a place for us to stand in faith and say, Lord, this is you've asked us, why is it not happening? What is the reason why this is not happening to us? And I believe one of the main reasons is prayer, that we're not praying. You know, in the beginning when we started praying, before the services, there was 10, 15 people that would pray. Many mornings, there's no one praying any mornings anymore, for example. There was an urgency to pray that we had in the beginning that I feel has been lost a little bit. And I want to encourage you, and especially the cell leaders as well, to come and pray so that we can come in unity, because God wants to do a massive work here. This man that I told you about, he's a pastor. He's been a pastor for 10 years in the black township there in Nonjamo. And he said to me, he's not here, so I'm just going to... he said, Theo, I can preach in front of black people, 10,000 men, but not white people. I tell you, not white people, man. I can't preach in front of them. But this man, he's got a heart for God like I've never seen any man in my life before. When he's given all his money away in Nzama, he just have a heart to serve the Lord. And he said to me, Theo, I experience angels in your church. There's amazing work. There's amazing anointing in this church that I've not experienced in any white church before. In the black church, we experience that all the time, but not in white churches. So, you know, I really believe that was it started from prayer, the prayer that we did in the beginning. And I want to encourage you to come and pray with us again so that we can come in unity and come to that place where God's Spirit will just flow out in us, and we will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and in fire. When we prayed on Wednesday morning, Inu came with this word. He saw an ox wagon with the six oxes yoked together, and it looked like they were in unity, but each ox was trying to do its own thing. So there was, even though it looked like they were in unity, they weren't. And just the word that he gave God was complacency, which means that as long as nothing bad is happening to me, I'm okay. And I want to say to you, when the doctors say to you, your kid has a, then you get a fright. So even before that happens to you, I want to ask you, it's not a warning, it's just pray over your children, lay hands on your children, pray over your wife, walk around your house and anoint the house, pray for people around you, pray, be prayerful, come in unity with one another that we pray, because you know, when the devil comes for you, it's not nice. It's not nice when one of our brothers, his brother died yesterday morning. Last week, there's another guy that I know. He and his family was in a car accident, and of his three children, two died, and his wife will probably never work again. You know, when accidents happen, it's really hard. You know, and then you've got to get the shake. Why did it happen to me? But I want to encourage you, come, let's pray that we can protect us as a congregation as well. And there's so many people out there, the harvest is ready. We this morning I prayed for the harvesters to come in, so that these people who are so lost out there can come to know the fullness of God, who can come in under the protection of who God is. So is there any, James 5 verse 13, is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power in its working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. You know, this God says that the prayer of the righteous has great power. And the New King James Version says it avails much. And, you know, sometimes people that we love die, and don't ask the question, are they in heaven or not? If you've prayed for them, you don't know that last second before that person died what God could have done. And there's a scripture in Acts that says that if you are saved, you and your household will be saved. And I really hold on to that scripture that because of the power of prayer, we don't know what will happen to that person, but we have to pray for the people who are unsaved, that we don't hold them accountable. A friend of mine, his father wasn't a believer, and he was in a coma, and I went to go and pray with him. I mean, he and I were very naughty as youngsters, and so when I was old as well. But we prayed together for his father, and I asked the Lord for a word before the week came in. And the Lord gave us this word of a seed. If he dies, it will bring a big fruit. And then the doctor came in, and the doctor said to him, you know, just before your father died, he started asking me about the Mighty Men's Conference, because this doctor was a spirit-filled man, and he went to the Mighty Men's, and he said to me, he asked me all these questions about God and about the Mighty Men's, and I just want to say to you, in I think it's 2 Corinthians, it says, unless a seed dies, it can only bring forth a harvest. And the Lord confirmed that word to us and to him, and he was crying and I was crying, because the Lord is faithful. And we know, even though his father never said the words and he came and responded to an altar call, I believe that Wimyani is in heaven today because of the prayers that we had. And that's why I'm just believing this morning that we must pray. We must seek God's face. That we must pray for us as families, for us as the congregation, in your cell as well. That when someone is sick, someone comes forward, we just all lay hands on them. You know, you don't have to come to the elders. You as cell leaders and the senior guys in the cell, you lay hands on them and you pray for them. If that person is still not healed, then come to us and then we pray for them. We stand in faith so that the Lord can heal us. So therefore, just in conclusion this morning, is anyone among you suffering? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And this is why we use oil, because the word of God says that we must do this. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Can we just close our eyes, please? If you can just stand up with me as well. Come on, my Shannon. Yes, Father, we just bless you this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you are a God that heals, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can know that you heal all, Lord. That your word repetitively says that you heal everyone, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, that you are a good God, Lord. That your mercy endures forever, Lord. That you are full of compassion, Lord. That you love us so much, Lord. Lord, that we can know that we are your children, Lord. That we don't have to do things, Lord, to impress you, Lord. Father, that we so many times fall back into works, Lord, when we're going through tough times and when we're suffering, Lord. But that you just say, you don't have to do these things. You can just come to me because I'm your Father and I love you. Lord, we just bless you this morning. And then maybe just while every eye is closed, maybe you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not have a relationship and you want to come to that place where you have a relationship with him, I want to invite you to come forward and I can pray with you specifically. But maybe there are people here who are emotionally hurt. You've gone through a breakup, or you've been... Maybe you've been neglected as a child, and or recently you you've been divorced, and you need someone to just pray with you. If that is you and you want to come forward that we can pray with you, or if there's anyone here who have any physical hurt or sickness and you want someone to pray with you, you want an elder to pray with you, I want to encourage you to come forward. And then the third group of people, or maybe there's one person that you have lost hope in who God is, that you started believing that God doesn't always heal, that God is a God that has like a twisted mind. He's got a double side to him. He's got a black and a white side. He's got a good and an evil side, and that he doesn't always heal. And you just feel you want to bring that before him and just repent of that. If you want to maybe just come forward and repent of that, and that we can just pray with you for the gift of faith to be released on your life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We just bless you, Lord God.